The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting notice?
Certainly, Madam Chair. This meeting is being done in conformity with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines on virtual meetings, and it's appropriate to go forward in this fashion.
Thank you. Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
She's here. She must have.
Gabby, you're muted. She's here. Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Atkins?
Here.
Mr. Foster is not here. Mr. Ahmed? Not yet. And Madam Chair?
Here. Could everybody who see the flag over my right shoulder and please let us pledge allegiance to the flag in unison, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We have professionals to be sworn in.
Chris Dockney, if could just swear you in. You swear the testimony you'll give before this board this evening will be the whole truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Are there any changes to tonight's agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. Items number 10, 11, and 12 are postponed until the June 13th, 2024 meeting. Number 10 is a discussion.
I believe it's the 12th. I think Wednesday is on the 12th. If we'll check our calendars.
Yes, it's the 12th. My apologies.
All right. Is Wednesday, June 12th. So item 10, which is deals with block 3702, lot 2, whether or not it meets the criteria for an area in need of redevelopment is being moved to the June 12th, 2024 meeting. Item 11, which is the addendum to the redevelopment plan for block 1701, lot 2.03, 4100 New Brunswick Avenue, is being postponed until the June 13th, 2024 meeting. And item 12, which is a discussion to authorize Foresight to amend the redevelopment plan for block 9201, lots 46.20, is also being postponed until the June 13th, 2024 meeting. Any of those matters that have been noticed, there will be no further notice. The matters will be heard at that time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Item number 13, DS 1525 Washington LLC, preliminary and final site plan meeting. Site plan.
Madam Chair, I think we have to pay the bills and adopt the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant to do that too. Can we get and announce a motion to pay the duly audited bills.
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make a motion that we pay the bills.
Do I have a second?
Dawn Corcoran, I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed? Nope. And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 8, adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on April the 10th, 2024. There's none tonight.
No.
Okay. Now, item number 9, adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of April 10th, 2024.
Madam Chair, I make motion that we adopt the minutes for April 10th, 2024.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Dylan Corcoran, I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. And now we get to item number 13, which is 23PB 11-12 V as in Victor DS 1525 Washington LLC for preliminary and final site plan.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Hodge.
Sorry, it's David Prasad from Bob Smith's office.
Okay, thank you.
So good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is David Prasad, licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey, here tonight representing DS 1525 Washington LLC, seeking preliminary and final site plan with bulk variances. The property is located at 1525 South Washington Avenue, block 5301, lot 1501 in the LI5 zone. The property is 143,080 square feet. It's a regularly shaped lot, and it has frontage along South Washington Avenue in the amount of 179.80 feet. Currently, there is a 28,405 square foot warehouse, and the rear yard is an unstriped dirt and gravel area that's in the rear. The applicant tonight is seeking preliminary and final site plan approval with bulk variances to install parking or asphalt in the rear yard and striping for trailer storage spaces. And they're also proposing 24 passenger vehicle parking spaces throughout the site. The applicant is also seeking a retaining wall with a fence above it on the south side of the property and proposing an elevated loading pier on the south side of the building. There are a few variances that we are seeking, bulk variances that we are seeking tonight. A few of them are existing. The existing variances are for minimum lot area, where 215,000 square feet is required in the zone, and 143,080 square feet is existing. We're also seeking minimum lot width, where 300 feet is required, and 179.8 feet is existing. And minimum lot frontage where 300 feet is required, 179.8 feet is also existing. There is an existing side yard setback variance on the north side of the property where 50 feet is required and 35.5 feet is existing. And we are proposing a change to the side yard setback on the south side of the property where 50 feet is required and 20.3 feet is proposed, due to the loading area that we're proposing on the south side of the building. The new variances that we are seeking is for a retaining wall and fence that's located behind the front yard setback, and it exceeds 8 feet in height. The total height is 9 feet because it is a 5-foot retaining wall with a 4-foot fence on top of it. We are seeking a variance for parking in the front yard, where it is required to be 25 feet away from the parking line, and we are proposing 24.5 feet from the property line. And we're also seeking a variance for a freestanding sign, where it's supposed to be 50 feet from the property line, and we're proposing 25.4 feet from the property line. There's also an existing sign there that is the new sign. It will replace the existing sign. We have three witnesses tonight. We have the applicant, Levi Drew, who's here to represent DS 1525 Washington LLC. We have our professional engineer, Mr. Thomas Muller from Dynamic Engineering. And we have a traffic engineer, Craig Paragoy from Dynamic Traffic. We also will be addressing four staff reports that we received from the town. We have the DNR engineering report dated February 27th, 2024. We have the planning report from CME dated February 26, 2024. We have the Township of Piscataway report from Mr. Hinterstein dated February 29, 2024. And finally, the traffic report from Dolan and Dean dated February 5th, 2024. If the board has no questions for me, I would like to introduce our first witness and have him sworn in.
Oh, your first witness.
Madam Chair, just before we do that, I've been told that Ms. Dolan, the board's traffic expert, is on the call. I'm just trying to, oh, there she is.
Here I am. I'm here.
So I'm just Ms. Dolan, I'm just going to swear you in.
There you
are. You have to comment on any of the applications going forward. I don't have to keep doing it, okay?
Sure.
You swear the testimony you give before the board tonight will be the whole truth, so you got?
Yes, I do.
Perfect. And I'm sorry, your first witness, sir?
For the first witness, I'd like to call Mr. Levi Drew, who's here to represent the applicant.
Okay. Just kind of trying to find him.
Yes, am I coming through?
You are. orally, not visually.
See that?
Oh, there you are.
I can change it. You changed. Oh, I can change.
Okay, sir. If you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address.
Sure, Levi Drew. It's L-E-V-I. Last name is Drew, D-R-E-W. My address. What do you want? The business address.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's 1421 38th Street, Brooklyn, New York. It's 11218.
You might proceed, Mr.
I'm sorry, your zip again, sir? The zip, sir?
11218.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes.
You're a witness, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Drew, if you can please tell the board your position at the company and your role with this project.
Yes, I'm a partner in this property in the 1525 Washington LLC. We invested in this building and the property, and we're trying to upgrade it according to the zones and make it safe and according to the we bought it. It was the original owner that put up the building. He was the first owner of this and had it for 40 years. We took it over, and it was never upgraded to the newest rules and regulations. So we're trying to bring it up to date, and because we're going to be putting in all the money and everything we need to do to bring it to that, we want to make sure that it's going to be rentable and feasible for any tenant that could use it for a good use. So we're trying to make it. The best we can rent it and the best best possible scenario. It should be safe and usable for that area and for that usage for this property and this building.
Okay, thank you. So for the proposal tonight, you are proposing 39 trailer storage spaces. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the back of the building.
And also 11 off-street vehicle passenger vehicle spaces. Is that correct?
Correct.
You're also going to be providing 10 passenger vehicle parking spaces in the front of the property. Is that correct?
Correct.
And there's additional striping happening for three parking spaces on the south side of the building. Is that correct?
Correct.
So a total of 24 passenger vehicle spaces will be provided as part of this proposal. Is that correct?
Correct.
And also there's a retaining wall and a fence above that retaining wall on the south side of the property. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you're also providing a loading pier on the south side of the building. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the proposed use for this property is going to continue as a warehouse. Is that still true?
Yes. It was the warehouse.
Can you describe for me the current, current use of the site right now?
Yeah, now it's vacant. It's all cleaned out. There's nothing there now.
Okay. And as you mentioned, you're seeking these improvements to optimize the space for a potential tenant to come in and rent the building. Is that true?
Correct.
Okay. And you don't have at this very moment a particular tenant in mind. Is that correct?
No, nothing. We may use it, we're expanding our businesses, but it's if we don't use it, then we would look to extend, to get a tenant. We also have a business in Brooklyn. We're thinking of moving it over to Piscataway, but if that doesn't work, we'd look for a tenant.
We're Understood. Not Thank you.
High-class business, but if that doesn't work out, we will look for a tenant.
Okay. Thank you. I have no more questions for this witness. If the board has any questions.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of this witness, Mr. Levi? Hearing no questions, can we open it up to the public? Ms. Buckley? Anyone in the public wishing to ask any questions of this witness, would you signify by flashing your hand signal?
No, Madam Chair.
Ms. Thank Buckley, you. Close I to- would note that Mr. Ahmad is now on.
We note that Mr. Ahmad has joined the meeting.
Hi, Bashir.
My bad.
Close to the public. You can call your next witness, Mr. Pizzone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My next witness will be our professional engineer, Mr. Thomas Muller from Dynamic Engineering. I'd ask that the board swear him in, please.
Okay. Mr. Muller, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address, sir.
Sure. It's Thomas Muller, Dynamic Engineering Consultants, 1904 Main Street, Lake Como, New Jersey, 07719.
M-U-L-L-E-R?
Yes.
Okay. You raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
You're a witness, sir?
Mr. Muller, if you can provide your qualifications to the board, please.
Absolutely. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey in good standing. I'm also a licensed professional planner in good standing in the state of New Jersey. I have my bachelor's of science and master's of science in civil engineering from Rutgers University. I have over 13 years of experience in the civil engineering field. Currently employed as a senior principal with Dynamic Engineering Consultants. I've been with the firm for over 11 years. I've designed many similar projects to this. I personally visited the site and where I was personally involved and directly overseeing the design of this project. I've presented in front of many planning and zoning boards throughout New Jersey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Muller. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Muller, if you can please go through the site plan, a description of the property and the proposed improvements, and then we can address the staff reports received by the township professionals.
Absolutely. I have two very simple exhibits that I'll just share my screen. Okay, can you see the aerial map exhibit here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is just an aerial map.
Mr. Mueller, we're just going to mark any exhibits that you put up as A1, the next one A2, et cetera. And, you know, so this is A1, and if you could just briefly describe what it is. Thank you.
Yep. Exhibit A1 is an aerial map exhibit prepared by my office, dated May 8th, 2024. It's simply a colorized aerial image showing the existing additions on the site and the surrounding properties within generally 200 feet of the site. Just going to quickly use this exhibit to describe the existing site and surrounding areas. David did a great job of explaining the existing site, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but it's existing block 5301, lot 15.01. It's identified as 1525 South Washington Avenue, which is also identified as County Route 665. We're in the township of Piscataway. We have about 180 linear feet of frontage on South Washington Avenue. That is our only public right-of-way frontage. South Washington is three-lane roadway northbound, two-lane roadway southbound with a centerized dual left turn lane. South Washington also chokes down to two lanes in each direction immediately south of our site. Site's generally rectangular. It is a very narrow lot. It's about 3.3 acres in size. As was previously mentioned, the site's been historically developed as a warehouse since the early 1980s. Over time, it's become very dilapidated, and the proposal here is to clean up the site and formally convert this building to a warehouse with trailer storage in the back. We are in the LI5 light industrial zone, which does permit warehousing and trailer storage. The existing site has one very narrow full movement driveway to South Washington Avenue. Surrounding uses to the north, we have the LI5 zone as well as the GB general business zone. There's a number of commercial uses and industrial uses to the north. We have a welder rental shop. We have the Popeyes and 7-Eleven development to the north of that. And then immediately to the north of that is Stelton Avenue. To the east, we also have the LI5 zone. We have a number of self-storage users and industrial users to the east. To the south, again, LI5 zone, commercial industrial uses. And then to the west, we have South Washington Avenue, self-storage, and then some large warehouses to the west. Like I mentioned, existing site is dilapidated. It's not well defined in terms of development. There's an existing building there, which we are converting, that I'll touch on in a minute. There is a small parking area along the front, along the western portion of the building, all of which is being reconstructed. And jumping right into the proposed site here, this will be exhibit A2. Exhibit A2 is a site plan rendering prepared by my office, dated May 8th, 2024. This is a colorized version of the site plan design, identical to what the board has received. Simply just shows the landscaping around the site, different hatches for the different covers of land that we have. The grays are asphalt, the tan colors, the existing building, and then it shows the striping and everything throughout the site. So we are here seeking preliminary and final major site plan approval. As David mentioned, we did receive a series of professional review letters, all of which we are in full agreement with. There are a few items that we were requested to clarify, which I'll touch on quickly throughout my testimony. But we did review those review letters in great detail, and we have no issue addressing those comments. We also had the benefit of attending a technical review committee meeting where we went through the review letters, and I believe we're on the same page as the board professionals. So just a high level summary of the development. Again, this is a simple warehouse conversion. The existing building will remain. The only addition to that building is a small 300 square foot loading dock pier at the southern portion of the building, which will serve tractor trailers, which I'll touch on in a minute. The existing building is broken up into a front office portion, which is on the west side of the building. And then the rest of the rectangular portion of the back is warehousing. So the front portion of the office is about 5,640 square feet. And the rear warehouse component is approximately 22,765 square feet. We're proposing a total of 24 parking spaces, which includes ADA compliant parking spaces, as well as electric vehicle parking spaces. We're proposing two total loading spaces, one of which is here at the loading dock pier, and the second of which is in the rear of the building with an existing loading dock door along the back of the building. And then we're also proposing 39 total trailer storage stalls in the rear of the site, as you can see on the east side, the right side of the exhibit. Just to give you a general idea of our site plan design thought process. Like I mentioned, the existing site has a very narrow driveway that serves the site. It's technically a full movement driveway under existing conditions, but we recognize the fact that West Washington Avenue is essentially a six-lane roadway in this area. And through coordination with the design team, with the township professionals, and as well as the county professionals, we've designed this project to eliminate any lefts out or lefts into the site. So this is a simple right-in, right-out project where vehicles will be required to travel from the south into the site, and then they'll be required to exit the site and go north back onto Washington Avenue. So we have a very narrow site, as I mentioned. So we are proposing an ingress-in driveway at the northern portion of the site, and an egress-only driveway on the southern portion of the site. So as vehicles enter the site, they could either exit, or they could maneuver to the rear of the site, or they could maneuver to the front of the site. In the front, we have passenger vehicle parking. So tractor trailers will be prohibited from this front area along the western portion of the building. But then our tractor trailer deliveries will be routed to the back of the site, where they could utilize the trailer storage area, or they could utilize the loading areas for the existing building. Then as vehicles leave, obviously they just exit out the driveway back onto South Washington Avenue. In terms of zoning, we did review the CME review letter in great detail. We agree with the outlined variances and design waivers that they clearly outlined in their letter. I'm just going to touch quickly on a few of these items, but there are a number of bulk standards that this project complies with. Minimum lot depth, 300 feet is required. We have 726 feet of depth, so we are compliant. The ordinance also requires an 80-foot front yard setback. This building is currently 81.2 feet from the front yard, so it is compliant. And then the rear yard setback is required to be 50 feet, and we are well over 50 feet to the rear of the site. The building height maximum is 50 feet, where the existing building is well under 50 feet in height. Maximum building coverage is 50%, and we're only at approximately 19.8%, so we're more than less than half of what's allowed. And then minimum floor area required is 20,000 square feet, but we're at 28,000 square feet, so we meet that requirement. A few existing nonconformities, as David mentioned, lot area, 215,000 square feet is required. We're proposing, under existing conditions, 143,080 square feet. So that's an existing condition that will remain. Minimum lot width is 300 foot required. We have 172 feet existing. That's not being exacerbated as part of this project. Lot frontage, 300 feet is required. We have 179.9 feet. And then the minimum side yard setbacks to the northern portion of the building. Ordinance requires a 50-foot setback. The existing building is 35.5 feet from that side property line, so that is an existing nonconformity. And then to the southern portion of the building, again, ordinance requires a 50-foot setback. The existing building is 35.2 feet, but when we add this elevated loading dock, we're at 20.3 feet. Apologize. For parking, as I mentioned, we're proposing a total of 24 parking spaces. The board traffic engineer did confirm that they agree with our calculation, but I believe the board landscape architect and CME requested some additional information on that. Our original thought process was to use the warehouse parking calculation, which is one parking space per 2,000 square feet for warehouse uses. But it was requested that we break out the office for this component. So once we break out the 22,765 square feet of warehouse and the 5,640 square feet of office, the parking requirement per the ordinance would be 40 total parking spaces required. And like I mentioned, we have 24 total parking spaces. For a use like this, we look at industry standard, we look at ITE, we look at the Institute of Transportation Engineer standards. What we see is that 0.37 parking spaces are required for each 1,000 square feet of warehouse uses, which includes the office component. So using that ratio per ITE standards, we would only require 11 parking stalls. And like I mentioned, we're proposing 24 parking stalls, which is, in our opinion, is a suitable number of parking stalls for use of this nature. So in the event the board does decide we do need a variance, it's our opinion that this project is more than sufficient in terms of parking, and that the site will certainly operate efficiently with the 24 parking spaces that are proposed. All the parking spaces are 9x18 in size. There was a mention in the planner's letter that obviously our ADA stall is 8 feet wide. That does require a design waiver technically because it's not 9 feet wide. But once you include the hatched area for that ADA stall, the parking stall itself is actually 16 feet wide, which is more than what the ordinance requires. We also have a number of drive aisles throughout the site. There were comments from the board professionals to consider making the southern drive aisle one way, considering the narrow nature of that drive aisle. The applicant and my office have no problem complying with that. So this driveway to the south of the building will become a one-way driveway that will not negatively impact the site operations. Site's being designed for ADA compliance. We are proposing a sidewalk along the frontage. There are existing sidewalks throughout the site in front of the building to allow the parking areas to access the building. There is a design waiver required because there is no sidewalk provided for the 11 stalls along the north and then the 3 stalls along the south of the building. But again, it's a very small site. Those parking stalls are easily accessible into the building and throughout the site. So in our opinion, the additional impervious coverage and components associated with requiring a sidewalk are not necessary. So we think the design waiver is suitable and reasonable. Board professionals also did ask us to provide additional striping and signage throughout the site, which we have no problem with. And it was also requested that the refuse enclosure in the rear of the site be solid fencing, which we also have no problem doing. The loading complies with the ordinance in terms of the number of stalls we are required to provide two, and we are providing two. There was a request for clarification on the clearance for these loading docks. 14 feet is required in the ordinance, which these are open air loading areas, so we do provide more than 14 foot clearance. And then the size of these loading areas, 12 by 50 is required by the ordinance. The proposed loading dock pier provides much more than 12 by 50 in size. And then the loading dock in the rear shares the drive aisle in the rear of the site. So there's more than 12 by 50 feet easily available for tractor trailers to temporarily store in this area. But because there is basically an overlap between the drive aisle and that loading area, technically a design waiver is required. As I mentioned, the driveways are being reconstructed for right in, right out. This is being reviewed by the county. We have gone back and forth with them on their technical comments. We are expecting their approval very shortly. They are accepting our driveway design at this point. We're just finalizing some few minor details. There is a request for us to clarify the angle of these driveways. The ordinance requires a maximum of a 60-degree angle. The northern driveway is at 75 degrees and the southern driveway is at 110 degrees. So we are complying with the ordinance there. We do need a design waiver for the setback for these driveways. 10 feet is required, but we have less than 10 feet. This is just simply a function of the narrowness of the site and the driveway design that's required for the site. The driveways have been designed to accommodate WB67 tractor trailers without conflict, and I believe your board traffic engineers in agreement with the truck circulation that was presented. Quickly, just touching on grading and stormwater, this project is a major development defined by the state and local codes. We are completely compliant with the state and local codes with current regulations that were established as recently as July of last year. So we are providing green MTDs, green infrastructure throughout the site, which includes pervious pavement, green filtration devices, and then underground storage compartments. As David mentioned, in terms of the grading on the site, we do have a small section of retaining walls along the southern portion of the building. That's just simply to accommodate the grade change between our site and the adjacent property. We do need to provide a 4-foot high fence on top of that wall just for safety. For fall protection. So that does that those components equal about 9 feet in height. The ordinance allows a maximum of 8 feet. So there is a variance required for that wall and fence combination. We did review the board engineer's review letter. There was a number of stormwater comments, which we have no problem addressing directly with the board engineer. We're not proposing any improvements to the or modifications to the existing utilities for the building. There are fully all full utility connections to the existing right of way. So we're not proposing any modifications to that. In terms of landscaping, just quickly, we're providing a substantial evergreen buffer around the rear of the site to buffer the existing site from the neighbors. Right now, there is essentially no landscaping whatsoever in the rear. It's just gravel and dirt. So we're providing that substantial landscape buffer around the side and rear of the site. And we're also providing a number of landscape features along the front of the site to help improve the aesthetics of the site. We're providing shade trees and evergreen shrubs along the front of the building. There are a number of comments from the landscape architect, which we have no problem addressing. We'll provide additional landscaping in the front, and we'll provide landscaping around the proposed monument sign along the front of the building. In terms of lighting, we're providing all new LED light fixtures in the rear of the site. They'll all be shielded rear shields to help prevent lighting spillage to the maximum extent practical to offsite properties. The lights are all downward facing. They're at a fixed position. They're not floodlights. They cannot be adjusted, so they will be focused downward, and the light is not visible. It's a full cutoff light. In the rear of the site, we are providing the minimum light required for safe and efficient maneuvers and operations in the back of the site. The board professionals requested some additional lighting and analysis in front of the site, so we are more than happy to provide that to them, hopefully as a condition of approval, should we get approval tonight. Signage is completely compliant with the ordinance. It was requested that we reduce the freestanding sign height from 15 feet in height to a 10-foot monument sign height. Considering the use of this property and the neighboring signage packages, we agree with that recommendation, so we have no problem doing that. The only variance associated with the signage is simply the setback to the right-of-way. I believe a 50-foot setback is required. We have 25.4 feet. That's simply because we're removing the existing sign and replacing it with a new sign. And as you can see, based on the nature of this design, it just would not be possible to provide us a sign with a compliant setback. And lastly, just outside agencies, as I mentioned, we're in the process of pursuing county planning board approvals. We're also working with the township planning department to obtain any necessary soil erosion permits. And then we will be required to get a 5G3 permit from the NJDEP once we do get soil erosion approval from the township. That's really it from, you know, high level of everything. I'd be happy to dive into the review letters more or go through anything else in more detail if you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. Madam Chair, I don't have any questions for Mr. Mueller, if the board has any questions for him.
Members of the board, you've heard the testimony of this witness. Do you have any questions of him at this time?
Madam Chair, I actually have one question pertaining to the sidewalks. Is the applicant going to put striping as if the sidewalk's going across the ingress egress on South Washington Avenue?
Yes, there will be striped crosswalks. Okay. They're not on this exhibit, but we have agreed to do that. Yep.
And then also have towards the other, the southerly portion of the property line right there to site, because folks are actually walking on the grass right now. So at some point, your next door neighbor is going to have installed sidewalks so it'll connect up.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. That's all, Madam Chair.
Any other board members have questions of this witness?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, in regards to the trailer parking spaces, are those going to be loaded trailers, empty trailers, or depends on who's going to rent the warehouse?
Exactly correct. It depends on who rents the warehouse. They could be empty, they could be loaded.
Okay.
But it's open to the tenant's discretion.
Okay. And what type of material are you trying to seek for this warehouse? It's no manufacturing, right?
Yeah, according to the applicant's testimony, it's just a standard distribution warehouse. To my knowledge, there will be no manufacturing on site, but there is no tenant identified at this point until we get further along with these land use approvals.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to open it up to the public now.
Madam Chair, I just had
more
a quick
questions. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I just had a Mr. Prasad, with regards to the other items that Mr. Mueller didn't specifically address in the Hinterstein report of February 29, 2024, the applicant's going to agreed to comply with them, correct?
I do believe he will. He will agree and comply with all the other comments unless Mr. Mueller has any other information on those comments.
Any other members of the board have questions of this witness?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, it's not a question, but it's just in item 20 of the staff report, it indicates there's two spare 4-inch electrical conduits. That should be fiber optic conduits. I just wanted to make the applicant aware of that.
Yep, understood. I don't see any issue with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions of this witness? Okay, Ms. Buckley, I'm going to open it to the members of the public. Members of the public, you have an opportunity to question this witness. If you have any questions, please indicate by waving your hand.
Can you please unshare your screen, Mr. Mueller?
Yep.
Thank you. There we go. I can see. No one is raising their hand, Madam Chair.
Okay. Close to the public. Mr. Pissot, do you have another witness?
Yes, we have one more witness. It is our traffic engineer, Mr. Craig Paragoy from Dynamic Traffic. I'd ask that the board swear him in.
Right. Sir, if you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address.
Sure. My name is Craig Paragoy, P-E-R-E-G-O-Y. Business address is 245 Main Street in Chester, New Jersey. Home address is here in Piscataway.
Okay. You raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before the board will be the whole truth?
I do.
Your witness?
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Mr. Paragoy, can you please give the board the benefits of your qualification, please?
Sure. I have a bachelor's degree in civil engineering from Virginia Tech. I'm a licensed professional engineer in New Jersey. I've been working as a traffic engineer for 24 years now. I've testified hundreds of times, pretty much on a nightly basis throughout the state as an expert in traffic engineering.
You may proceed as an expert in traffic.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Paragoy, if you can please describe the site circulation, the movements, ingress, egress, and if you can address the traffic report by Ms. Betsy Dolan.
Sure. I'll keep it brief. I know you got a couple applications behind us. Really nothing but good things to say about this in terms of traffic impact and cleaning this up. You saw that the driveway configuration that Mr. Mueller pointed out is greatly improved from what there is today. And part of the goal of that, and this was in consultation with the county, was to make it so trucks can enter and exit the site from the rightmost lane rather than what they have to do today and swing out across multiple lanes of traffic to get in or out. So that's what's behind that design, which is a big improvement. As far as actual traffic generation, you heard it's the building staying the same. It's a warehouse today and it's going to be a warehouse tomorrow. So the way we typically do traffic generation projections is based on the building square footage and the use, which is the same. So really the trip generation potential or traffic generation potential of the site stays the same. The only difference is sort of formalizing that trailer storage in the back rather than just having it on dirt. It's, you know, formalized trailer storage. So just to sort of quantify how much traffic that generates, if it were its own standalone, I took a look at some research counts that we did. The ITE considers trailer parking as part of the warehouse, and some have it and some don't. But we took a look at sites, three sites in New Jersey that actually are just strictly trailer storage and did some research counts for them. We're trying to actually get New Jersey DOT to adopt these rates. And based on those research counts for trailer storage of this size, it would generate at most during a peak hour, 9 trips. A trip is a vehicle either entering or exiting. Typically, you're looking at a significant increase in traffic being 100 or more trips. That's what New Jersey DOT says is a significant increase. So we're less than 10% of that. So to the extent that there would be any additional traffic generation beyond what's already could potentially occur, would the building be occupied? It's very insignificant. And I think the improved access and just cleaning up the site far outweighs, that minimal increase in traffic generation. And that's really it. Like I said, I drive by the site pretty much every day. I live here in town, so glad to see it getting cleaned up.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Members of the board, do you have any questions of this witness?
Ms. Hearing, Dolan? No.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Just going to say, does Ms. Dolan have any comments with regards to the traffic testimony?
Ms. Dolan? Is she?
She's muted? I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm fine with all of the testimony from both the engineer and the traffic engineer. I concur with the findings, and I'm satisfied that they have addressed our comments.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to open it to the public, hearing no questions now from the members of the board. Ms. Buckley, members of the public, I'm opening up the questioning of this traffic engineer in this matter. If you have any questions, would you indicate your willingness to ask a question by waving the hand?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Mr. Pissot, would you like to sum up or have anything else to say?
I have no comments for my professionals and their testimony that they provided tonight. I think they did a good job addressing all the staff reports. and addressing any concerns of the board professionals and answering the questions of the boards, board members, excuse me. I have no further questions for them, and I would ask the board look favor upon this application.
Members of the board, you've heard the testimonies in this application. What is your pleasure with reference to a motion?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make a motion. We approve the application subject to the board professional reports. Also subject to the additional striping was brought up at the where the there's a discontinuance of sidewalks. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is it.
Okay, do I have a second?
Reverend Kenny, Madam Chair, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, members of the board and Madam Chair. I hope you guys have a great night.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Item number 14, 24PB01, Kashiv Biosciences LLC for a preliminary and final site plan.
Just give me 1 second, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Pack up and unpack.
I didn't send you that much stuff, Tom.
Mr. Christopher Erd is.
That is me.
That's you.
When you're ready, when everybody's all set and ready to go.
Okay.
All good.
You may proceed, Mr. Erd.
Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
As the chair said, my name is Christopher Erd. I'm an attorney at Norris McLaughlin in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and I'm representing the applicant here. Kashiv Biosciences LLC, and this is an application for preliminary and final site plan approval for relatively minor additions to their existing operation, which is currently located on New England Avenue, 20 New England Avenue. It's block 4601 lot 5. Mm-hmm. It's approximately a lot that's approximately 5 acres in area. They've been in operation for a while. They're a biopharmaceutical company, as their name would suggest. The gist of the application is in what I would call the rear of the building, so the opposite side from New England Avenue. They want to put on a roughly 6,000 foot one-story addition and an approximately 7,700 square foot two-story addition, plus an emergency backup generator in the rear of the building. They also have some minor improvements and changes to the landscaping and parking. As we discussed at the workshop meeting, they're going to install a sidewalk along the frontage of New England Avenue, which is currently not there. There really are no variances here that are new. There's one that's existing, previously approved for freestanding sign on a New England Avenue that was approved previously. The problem with that sign or the variance that was granted was because it's within 6 feet of the right-of-way and the setback is supposed to be 50 feet. So that variance has already been granted previously. So we're not really in the need for applying for it again, but we just draw it to your attention as your professionals did in your reports. There are a couple of minor waivers that we'll get to with regard to parking and landscaping, mostly having to do with the configuration of the lot and how those things can be best dealt with. Of course, the applicant would work with the professionals to fine tune things, but those are relatively minor and they're pointed out in the board's reports. And just before we head into testimony, I do have a few reports here. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. I have a report from the fire department That was dated January 30th, 2024. There's a memo from the Division of Engineering and Planning dated March 12th, 2024. Oh, and by the way, I'm not going through the superseded reports. So some of these coming up are superseding reports. So the next one is May 1st, 2024 from Dolan and Dean. Then after that is from Delaware Raritan Engineering dated May 3rd, 2024. And the last one is from CME dated May 6th, 2024. So we are not planning on going through every single item in all the reports. I'm sure nobody here wants to go through them line by line. Generally speaking, there's going to be a will comply to every item, which is very helpful having workshop meetings. I wish every town would have those. As you know, as you probably know, a lot of towns don't, but that helps work through a lot of those issues ahead of time. So there may be a couple of things that we need to just generally discuss, but they're almost entirely going to be will comply with just some minor discussion on a couple of the items just for clarification purposes. So,
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, if I may, I just want to, I apologize. This is Dawn Corbin.
Yeah, go ahead.
The staff did issue a revised report dated April 22nd, 2024, based on the revised site plan drawings.
April 22nd, you said?
Correct. There's nothing new in the report. If anything, several of the items were addressed and removed from that original March 12th report. So there is nothing new within this report.
Oh, I do not have that. That's
okay.
Strange. So when you say the staff, that would be the engineering department?
Myself, the landscape architect, and our supervisor of engineering.
Okay, so that was dated what, April 22nd?
April 22nd, 2024. And again, it was just based on the revised site plan drawings that were submitted to our office. I think there's 17 items within the report. Number 18 is just a requirement for Middlesex County.
I apologize. I don't have a copy of that one. I don't know. Sometimes those things happen. I usually do them in chronological order. When we get to that one, is it possible for
you? Yeah, I just resent it, Mr. Hurd.
What? Sorry, that again.
I just resent it.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Laura.
You're welcome. Chris, I think essentially what Dawn is saying is, if you look at the March 12, 2024 report of the Divisions of Engineering, Planning, and Development, where there were 26 items, your new site plans addressed, it sounds like, 8 of the items, so they took them out.
Okay.
And left with 18 that were probably things like the sidewalk and the conduit line and the items that still would be conditions of approval or,
okay,
you know. So they gotcha. Didn't add anything. They just, there's 8 less things you had to worry about.
I gotcha. And they're all, I'm looking at it right now, and thank you for sending that to me. It looks like they're all going to be comply. But since literally this is the first time I'm seeing it, and the other professionals who are on here haven't seen it at all, which is what I'm going to do next is send it to them. If you don't mind, just give me 1 second, if you bear with me, so I can do that. The wonders of technology.
Fabulous.
Or the curse.
Right, or yeah. The curse.
Exactly. Occasionally, yeah.
See, if we were there in person, we would just pass it around, right? There's a bunch of people I have to copy and paste all their email addresses, so I'm sorry, just bear with me. And just for those of you who are on here that are on my team, the ray line just says staff when it comes through. Almost there. Sent. Okay, so now everybody has it. Just let me go to my printer so I can get a copy of it. Thanks. That's one of the reasons why I like to go through at the beginning the litany of reports, because sometimes that happens. Okay, so our with that being said, the first witness that I have is going to be, unless the board has any other questions or anything else for me, I'll like to move on.
I believe we're ready for the witnesses.
Sure. Okay, so the first witness is going to be from Kashiv, to just give a little bit of background on their company and why they are proposing what they're proposing. So that person should be Mahul Sharma.
Yes.
Is he there?
Yeah. Good evening to all member of the board.
Thank you. Good evening.
Can you turn on your camera, sir?
Yeah, I don't see your video.
Hold on.
Oh, okay. You're coming up. Right now, it's just still a gray screen.
Yeah. Hold on.
Oh, and also while we're waiting for that, if I recall from the vote on the last one, there were 7 eligible voting members.
Yes, there are 7 members currently hearing this application, Chris.
Thanks a lot. I don't think it'll be an issue, but I just always like to know. Well, just let us know when you're ready. We're waiting for your video.
Hello. Chris, can you see me?
Nope. Still, your video is not on. Yeah, there you are.
Better? Yes.
Welcome.
Sorry. Yes.
Okay, so Mo, if you could introduce yourself, spell your name, you're going to have to be sworn in, and then you can describe who you are with the company and then what we're here for.
Sir, yes, if you sure. could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address.
Sure. So my name is Mehul Sharma from Kashiv Bioscience, 20 New England Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey. I did my bachelor's in mechanical
engineering. I got to swear you in first. Hold on. Raise your right hand. Swear the testimony give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I'll do.
All right. You're a witness, Christopher.
Thanks. Okay, so Mehul, you were about to get rolling on what your company does and why you're here. So just take it slow so everybody can follow along.
Sure.
No need to rush. All right. So just, you don't have to go into tremendous detail about all your different products, just in general.
Sure. So again, good evening to all member of the boards. My name is Mehul Sharma. Business address is 20 New England Avenue, Kashiv Bioscience, New Jersey. Professionally, I did my bachelor's in mechanical engineering and I did my master's in business administrations. I hold a position of vice president, global engineering and facility for Kashiv Bioscience. Kashiv Bioscience is a fully integrated biopharmaceutical company with capabilities in both development and cGMP manufacturing of large and complex small molecules, and provide next generations of drug delivery technologies and biosimilar vaccines and specialty bioproducts. To support our future products and the business demands, Our existing facility, which is somewhere around 46,000 square feet, we are expanding up to 58,000 square feet. The existing structure shall have a selective building, demolitions and interior renovations. So this future expansion will include a proposed around 7,700 square feet of two-story GMP additions to the south side of the building, as well as around 4,000 square feet of warehouse and approximately 2,000 square feet of utility areas. So the expansion will cater our existing current manufacturing facility is 500 liter bioreactor capacity. This new expansion will support us up to scale up up to 2,000 liter bioreactor capacity, which will forecast and which will cater our all future requirements in terms of product manufacturing.
Okay, thank you for that summary. Does anybody have any questions about what Kashyap does or why they're here? Who could answer those now? Obviously, he's already been sworn, so he can come back and fill in blanks later. But if you have any questions now, please ask.
I'd like to know myself how these bioscientific products are going to be manufactured. Is it by chemical interaction or how? This is a manufacturing plant, right?
Yes, correct.
Could you give us some idea as to what that process is?
Sure. And just keep in mind that they've already been operating and this is just an addition. So it's
additions.
Okay, yeah. But I'm we'd like to get some idea of exactly what goes on there.
Understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a biological facility. So we developed the cell in a small scale bioreactor from 1 liter to 5 liter to 20 liter to 500 liter. And that cell has been harvested. It grows in millions. And then with a different purification process, we harvest that cell and extract the protein from the cell. And that final product will be our drug substance product, which will be eventually transferred to the drug product facility, which will be our PFS and vial, where we can fill the final drug substance into the PFS pre-filled syringe.
And when it reaches
this... There is no chemical reactions. There is no chemical used in this product. No.
Is it in a vial or is it in a can or is it in a plastic when it's reached the end of the process when you're finished with it? It's in what kind of container or form?
It will be in PFS, pre-filled syringe.
Could you explain that a little more to me, please?
PFS, pre-filled syringe.
The pre-filled syringes.
Oh, pre-filled syringes. Okay. Pre-filled syringes. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They'll be packaged in some way then.
Correct.
Okay.
In our Chicago facility.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that won't take place here in Piscataway?
No. So Piscataway facility will be drug substance manufacturing facility. And we have our another commercial approved, FDA approved facility in Chicago where we have fill finish capabilities. So the drug substance will be manufactured here in Piscataway and that drug substance will be transferred to our Chicago facility for fill finish.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from any other members of the board? Hearing none, I'd like to open it up to members of the public. Anyone in the public wishing to ask any questions of this witness, please signify by raising your hand. Ms. Buckley, do you see anyone?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Okay, Mr. Erg, you can call your next.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our next witness would be our civil engineer, who is Rudy Satirach. Rudy, you out there?
Oh. Give me one moment. He came in as an attendee. He didn't use the link. So hold on.
Oh, sorry about that. He was the late ad.
Oh, it's fine.
More technology.
That's okay. All he has to do is accept. All right. He should
Thank you. Because I didn't see his name on the attendees list. I got a little concerned.
Oh, he's here. He should be signing
I'm here. I'm here. I just, you're right. This is too much technology for me.
We got you. It's okay.
Also complicated. Yeah.
Well, when the engineers start saying there's too much technology, we have a problem.
I'm right here. I see myself.
You're here.
Okay, so we're going to have Rudy testify, but to the extent we have drawings to show, I don't believe we have any new exhibits. There's just documents that have been presented that have already been filed, and that's why Tyler Fox is showing up here, because he's going to be the one in control of the exhibits that Rudy may discuss, just to avoid confusion on why they're both on.
You want to get him sworn in first, and then
that's exactly what that was going to be my next thing. Thanks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it might be a good idea to swear both of them in, just in case there's some explanation that Tyler needs to give too.
That's fine.
Mr. Okay. Barlow? So Rudy, if you could state your name and please spell your last name and give us your professional address.
My name is Rudolph, middle initial S. Last name is Shatara, Shatarah.
And your professional address, sir?
6500 Jericho Turnpike, Suite 1W, Syosset, New York, 11791.
Okay. Raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth?
I do.
Okay.
Thank you. And did you want to swear Tyler in just in case, and since he's going to be showing the exhibits?
Is he going to be testifying and answering any questions, or is he just putting up the picture?
He might be, because he was also involved in preparing the plans along with Rudy.
Okay.
Since he's going to be showing them, it's probably a good idea to swear him in so we don't have to worry about it later.
Okay. Mr. Fox, if you could state your name, spell your last name, give us your professional address.
My name is Tyler Fox. Last name is Fox, F-O-X. And my professional address is 2410 North Ocean Avenue in Farmingville, New York, 11738.
Thank you.
Raise your right hand. This is where the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth.
I do.
Okay. Your witness is Mr.
Okay. Rudy, if you could please briefly describe your professional qualifications as a professional engineer, that would be appreciated.
I'm a professional engineer. I have approximately 43 years of experience between civil, structural, and mostly civil and structural both. I've been on my own as a business for 32 years, I believe. Yeah, 32 years been on my own. The projects that we have been accomplished, we're working on a new BMW dealership. We've done like 9 or 10 other dealerships. We've done several projects, and I'm doing actually a very exciting project right now, Start to Build, which is a surf park out in Shirley, Long Island.
Okay, well, thank you. And you were actively involved in preparing the plans and have reviewed them and are prepared to testify tonight about the plans for this application?
Yes, I worked very closely with Tyler, you know.
So thank you. So I'd offer Rudy, it's just easier to say his first name. I apologize.
No, Rudy's good.
As a professional engineer expert.
Yeah, I'm sure he has all the educational degrees to go beyond that 43 years of experience.
Thank you. Okay. So now this kind of be a team effort between Rudy and Tyler. If you could, Rudy, go through what is planned at the site and sort of give the board the benefit of the layout and dimensions and what exactly is planned at this site. So Tyler is sharing his screen to show the plans that were previously submitted. Mr. Barlow, I don't think these need to be remarked, but that's up to you. Because they're already been submitted.
As long as there's been no changes, alterations, coloring, or anything else to them, no. If they've been
Tyler, altered can you confirm in any way, that these are exactly the same as what was submitted?
That is correct. These are the same plans as submitted.
Okay. Then if someone could just, you know, describe what it is and the date they were prepared as they're utilizing them.
Okay. So Rudy, can you go ahead and do that? You might need to zoom in a little bit, Tyler. Yeah, it's a little hard to see.
Yeah, I would defer that to Tyler. Let him go ahead and I'll make any comments along the way.
And Rudy, if you could turn your volume up, that might be helpful. You're pretty...
It's a secret.
Or mm-hmm. Closer to the microphone, I'm not sure.
Okay, is that better?
That's better, yes, thank you.
Okay, that's the secret of the trade. You know, 43 years, you learn a lot about these things. So I would like to defer to Tyler to let him describe it, and I will chime in as needed.
Well, what are Tyler's qualifications then?
Okay, well, now Tyler, can you set forth your qualifications then?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Tyler Fox. As
a professional architect.
I am a licensed architect, and I'm a junior partner at JM2 Architecture, and we are the design consultants hired directly with Rudy Shatara for the design of the site and the construction documents for the building.
Okay. So I'd like to offer Tyler as a professional architect expert as well to help Rudy with his testimony here. He also, Tyler, you were involved in preparing these plans as well.
That's correct.
Tyler, can I give some of your little educational background, please?
Absolutely. I have a bachelor's of science in architecture from Alfred State College in New York State.
And how long have you been practicing?
I've been a licensed architect for over 2 years and I'm good standing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so Tyler, since these plans are actually on your title block, you can help Rudy to describe the date and what each sheet generally shows, and then he can go through the engineering aspects.
Yeah, gladly. So these plans were prepared, last dated April 1st, 2024, submitted to the Township of Piscataway on April 5th. The set is comprised of 11 sheets of site plans and proposed building plans and elevations for the project. Our first sheet here, it includes a dimensioned site plan showing the proposed nature of the development we have on the site.
This sheet is just so when you go through the different sheets, if you could say the name of the sheet for the record, this is C100.
C100, absolutely. As Mr. Sharma had stated, the scope of the work here is a proposed 7,700 square foot manufacturing addition to the south of this building. And to confirm, when I say south, it's to the right of the page. And also a warehouse addition of about 4,000 square feet to the east, and a utility and equipment room addition also to the east. The site improvements shown here, just very generally speaking, is very minor. The major site improvements here would include repaving and restriping of the parking lot, which is indicated on the sheet. Proposed retaining wall and proposed 5-foot sidewalk along New England Avenue, as well as some proposed increased lighting, which is included in this plan as well, which was submitted to the township as well. Sheet C101 defines the demolition areas of the site, which you can see as well as relatively minor. What we're proposing here along the perimeter of the building on the south side, there's currently some sidewalk and curb that will be removed in for construction of the addition to the south. And on the east side, we have demolition of an existing partial curb for an equipment pad, which will house compressed air gases, which are used for their processes, as well as a dashed red line along the east, which is their existing limit of their edge of asphalt, which will be replaced for new Belgian block curbs all along the south and the east end. And then the eastern corner, the northeastern corner, is where we're proposing a backup generator. So there's some small demolition area on the site in that corner. Sheet C200 is mostly an existing and proposed grading and drainage site plan. Rudy can speak a little more to this as well, but considering the nature of the application, most impervious and pervious surfaces are being maintained to what's existing. What is changing, of course, is the actual roof area of the additions that will be replacing, of course, some of the grass areas and sidewalk areas. Existing drainage inlets are all in good working condition. We propose to protect them during construction. Just a note about the retaining wall. I did provide a detail within the right-of-way of New England Avenue. It was suggested based on the existing grading of New England in the front yard that we propose a retaining wall, which is only 20 inches high. And that's a split face block, you know, kind of like a VersaLock style retaining wall of about 20 inches high.
And the purpose of that retaining wall was to accommodate the sidewalk, because originally the plan didn't call for a sidewalk. You didn't need the retaining wall, but now with the sidewalk, you need the retaining wall. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Correct.
Mr. Fox or Mr.
Yes.
I really don't think the board needs you to go through all 11 sheets of the plans. I mean, if you just want to kind of either hit the highlights as to the scope of the work or.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to. Yeah. They can look at the plans, and if the board members have any specific questions, if the architect wants to talk about what it's going to look like in terms of the renderings of it or something, that might be appropriate. And if Rudy's going to offer actually any engineering testimony, that's fine. But
sure.
I don't think it serves the board's time this evening to just go through the plans.
That's fine. And he's really already hit all the highlights. I don't think that really needs to go into much more detail unless the board has specific questions about this. As I'm assuming that everyone that has reviewed the plans, and if they have questions that haven't already been answered, we can do that. But if not, we could go through the reports just to confirm that we're going to be complying with everything. If that's the board's pleasure, we'll move ahead with that aspect. And the only other witness that we would have is our traffic engineer, which we do have on the line. There's not really any traffic issues to discuss, but he's here just to introduce himself and be available for if there's any questions after this testimony is finished.
Well, I mean, for instance, can Rudy agree to comply with any of the, on behalf of the applicant, the DNR Raritan Engineering May 3rd, 2024 report?
Yes.
If he can, you can just say, yes, we'll comply with everything unless there's a specific item you'd like to address.
Yep.
Yes, we will comply with everything.
Okay. And if they're going, is the applicant willing to comply with the items set forth in the Division of Engineering and Planning and Development report? I realize you have one of March 12th. There's a subsequent one in April, but again, didn't add anything.
Yep, we'll comply with those items as well.
Again, I don't mean to short circuit your application, but I know we have another one after this.
No.
And this doesn't have any variances associated with it.
Exactly.
The only question I have is you're not proposing any changes or moving of the sign that has already been granted a variance, correct?
That is correct, Bataur and Rudy, can you confirm that?
Yes.
You're not enlarging the non-conformity in any way. It's staying exactly the same.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chair, I didn't mean to jump in there, but I just thought we could maybe...
I appreciate it.
Well, that's fine. And I can just whip through the other reports too.
Sure. Perfect.
The fire department report was already approved, and that was the one from January 30th, so that one's taken care of. You already hit on the March 12th revised April 22nd one that we're going to comply with. There's another report from the Supervisor of Engineering with one item on it from April 29th. We will comply with that. There's the traffic engineer, Bill and Dean's report from May 1st. There's really nothing to comply with. It was all comments. The DNR report from May 3rd, we've already talked about, and we'll comply. And then there's the last one was the May 6th, 2024, that will comply. There's a couple of items that they'll have to work with the township professionals with regard to landscaping primarily because of the berm in the front, and just to make sure, and that's a will comply just, you know, with the consultation with the board's professionals.
Dawn, do you have any issue if the applicant works with the board's professional staff to resolve any landscaping issues?
Not at all.
Okay, so if that being said, I don't have any other further questions for either Tyler or Rudy.
Okay, if the board, none of the board members have any questions, we can open it up to the public, please. Board members, you heard the testimony. Members of the public, you heard the testimony of these two witnesses. Does anyone in the public have questions of these witnesses? Would you indicate so by waving your hand?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may just interject. Ms. Dolan, do you have any concerns or issues with regards to traffic as to this matter?
No, our comments were generally in concurrence with this submission. We're fine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So I think that one heads off the need for our traffic engineer. Unless the board does have its own questions for our traffic engineer, then I will not introduce him for testimony, if that's the board's pleasure.
Ms. Dolan, is that all right with you?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, members of the board, you've heard this application. Mr. Erd, if you don't have a summary, members of the board, what's your pleasure?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make a motion. We approve the application subject to the board professional reports.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second that, providing he makes he's in compliance with all the professional reports.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for moving along so quickly. I'm sure that the applicant behind us will appreciate it as well. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good night. Night.
Thank you. Thank you so much to all the members of the board from Kashiv Bioscience.
You're welcome. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you.
Item number 15, 23PB23/24V is in Victor Spark Car Wash LLC, preliminary and final site plan and bulk variance.
Good evening, Madam Chair, board members.
Good evening.
Board professionals. My name is Jeff Chang from law firm Fox Rothschild out of Princeton. The pleasure of presenting Spark Car Wash this evening. I just want to confirm with Councilor Barlow that notice was proper and acceptable to the board.
It's acceptable.
Okay, perfect. So I'll just introduce the application, identify the variances and the most recent reports so that we're all on the same page. I know we want to provide a robust record for obvious reasons. So with that being said, I'll go to my direct. Spark Car Wash is a lessee for block 5401, lot 8.01 in the township of Piscataway. Property is located at 1038 Stellan Road, Piscataway, New Jersey. The property is 2.17 acres in size and located in the GB, General Business Zone. The property is currently improved with a vacant bank building with three ATM drive-through lanes. The applicant is seeking preliminary and final site plan this evening with bulk variances to construct a 4,841 square foot automated car wash structure with 26 parking spaces. It'll be comprised of 21 vacuum spaces and 5 employee spaces and related signage. There's a number of variances that we've compiled based on township reports, both from CME and Don Corcoran Gardella. So the 8 I believe that I counted were the following. So section 21-1202, location, maximum number of facade signs, one on front facade is permitted where four facade signs are proposed. Section 21-1202.2, maximum percent of front wall area where 10% is permitted and 16.3% is proposed. Section 21-1202.3, maximum size of freestanding sign, 32 square feet is permitted where 50.10 square feet is proposed. Section 21-1202.3, minimum distance of freestanding sign from street, 25 feet required where 10 feet is proposed. Section 21-1207, minimum setback for signs under 10 square feet, 10 feet from property line required where directional sign of 0 feet from side yard property line is proposed. Section 24-704.2.B3, minimum width of parking islands, 6 feet is required where 5.29 feet is proposed. Section 21-501, proposed 39-foot and 57 front yard setback from an accessory structure. These are the two vacuums where 60 feet is required. And the last variance, I believe, is section 21-1207.5.1, proposed directional sign is located 0 feet from the property line, and all signs under 10 square feet must be set back a minimum of 10 feet from the property line. So just to clarify, those are the variances that are being requested this evening, in addition to, obviously, the site plan. And just to make sure that we're on the same page, the reports that we last received were the DNR report dated March 7th, 2024, report from Joe Herrera dated March 5th, 2024, CME planner's report dated May 6th, 2024, and then Dawn Corcoran's planning memo March 5th, 2024, and then Henry Hinterstein's memo March 8th, 2024. Those are the ones that we'll be commenting on through my professionals this year.
Did you also, you may have said it, I missed it, yep, the Dolan and Dean report from the traffic expert dated January 22nd,
2024? Yes, okay. my traffic. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Barlow. Okay. Yep, that's also identified. Okay. So with that being said, I have a number of professionals this evening. I'm going to start with Matt Canale, who's the real estate director for Spark Car Wash. He's going to walk us through the operations, you know, the history of Spark Car Wash, why they want to invest in this town and build this, what we think is very nice, beautiful, and going to be something that Piscataway will be proud of. I'll have Paul Mutch from Stonefield Engineering, who's the design engineer, who's going to walk through the site plan, the variances, show the existing site, what is being proposed. And then Oliver Young out of GKA, as the architect, who's going to show you the design and materials and the signage on the property. And then Andrew Vicio, who's also an engineer, traffic engineer out of Stonefield, who will be discussing the traffic justifications, parking, circulation. And then we'll wrap up with John McDonough, the professional planner, who will go through the C2 variances, positive, negative criteria. With that being said, if I could, I'd like to have my first witness.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chang, before you do that, I and Jeff, I'm just doing this by way of an abundance of caution.
Yes, sir.
And just on the record, just so the board's aware, there was an issue with regards to jurisdiction when this application was originally filed. There was an objector who filed an application, prerogative writ complaint in Superior Court in New Brunswick, challenging whether or not the planning board had jurisdiction or if this matter should go to the zoning board. At Judge Buka in New Brunswick, referred the matter back to the zoning board as they have the right to interpret whether or not a use variance would be triggered. While that application was pending, the objector, Mr. Liston, ultimately chose to withdraw that application and dismiss the pending prerogative writ complaint. And as far as I'm concerned, and I believe Mr. Chang will agree, consenting or agreeing that the planning board had jurisdiction, that a use variance was not needed. So that's how, just from a little procedural history, if someone reviews this later on, you know, I don't want it to be said that we did this in a vacuum. I believe the planning board is the appropriate venue for this matter, as I do believe a use variance is not required, thereby giving the planning board jurisdiction over this matter. there was an objector who was represented by Mr. Liston, who I don't see on this. If he does appear or another attorney on his behalf appears, he will have the right to cross-examine any of Mr. Cheng's witnesses and offer any of his own witnesses. As of this juncture, I don't see him, but if he does pop in or another attorney on behalf of the objector, just so the board's aware, he will have his opportunity to cross-examine and then present if he so chooses. So with that being said, Mr. Chang, I turn it back over to you and you can call your first witness.
Absolutely.
Unless you have anything you'd like to add.
Yeah, no, that's it. And the one thing that Mr. Liston sent to us, the case that he was relying on was the Dash versus Township of Sparta Zoning Board matter and Diamond Chip Realty LLC. I'm looking at the case in front of me. And that's what he gave up his jurisdictional challenge. And that's why we're here this evening before the planning board. So mm-hmm. with that being said, I'd like to have Matt Canale of Spark Car Wash be sworn in and give his qualifications.
Thanks, Jeff. Hi, everyone.
I don't know if you turn on your video, Matt.
I don't appear to have a video option. I don't know if there's a something that needs to take place on need to be added with panelists, maybe.
No, because I think we're all panelists.
Okay. Well,
yeah, on your bottom left on your computer, it should say stop video or start video. Click on that, it'll give you your video.
I don't have that.
Tap your screen.
I'm sorry?
Are you on a phone or computer?
It might come up.
I'm on the computer, yeah. Okay, let's see here. I've been on for a while now, and I think there may just be something wrong with my display. Perhaps I could try on my phone to see if I can get video that way. 1 second. Oh, I got to join us.
You'd have to call it back in again.
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're good.
Yeah,
you got it.
I'm in business. Appreciate that very much.
All right, sir, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address, please.
Absolutely. Matt Canale, MATTHEW, CANALE. And we're located at 30 Maple Street, Summit, New Jersey.
All right, raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Chang, your witness.
Sure. So, Matt, you can testify in the narrative, but I want you to introduce the board. You know, what is Spark Car Wash? You know, why are you targeting this site? Why do you believe that this market is perfect for your company to expand? I want you to, if you could give the board some market data, emphasize, you know, you're investing significant amount of dollars to the company here.
Yeah,
so we want it to work and flourish. We also want to highlight modern operations, environmentally friendly, you know, in terms of recycling the water. And then just to describe that this site makes sense for us in design. We have no variances actually about the intensity of the use. It's actually a lot of the signage related. So if you could walk the board through a narrative and hit those points, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. Thank you, Jeff. First and foremost, thank you all for your time this evening. We're very excited to be presenting here before you all. So as already introduced, I'm the director of real estate at Spark. As director of real estate, one of my primary responsibilities is to identify locations that would put us as a business in a position to thrive over the long term. So, you know, we're making a very significant investment in these redevelopment projects. The car washes are quite expensive. So we do spend quite a bit of time diving deep into the analysis of a market, understanding its strengths, how the trade area actually works and functions, ultimately to make a decision to move forward. So when I was first introduced to the site on Stelton Road, what you know, was obvious and stood out was just the strength of the retail corridor. You know, at this location, as you all know, you're surrounded by a multitude of national and local retailers, fast food, grocery stores, including the brand new ShopRite on the other side of the street, superstores like Walmart and Target, gyms, sit down restaurants, you name it. And the reason for that, as we understood with our analysis, is that the trade area here really extends far beyond the actual township of Piscataway. This is largely due to the accessibility that is provided on 287. So the Piscataway Stelton Road trade area is very easily accessible via 287, and that provides accessibility to a multitude of other markets as far west as Bridgewater, as far east of Metuchen, and additionally Route 18 provides easy access from the south, which is a very dense residential population to the south, down as far south as North Brunswick. So all of these things, and it's exactly why you have all the other retailers and a multitude of those retailers in this market, is because it provides you one location that gives you access to various other markets via 287. So for those same reasons, we selected Piscataway as one of our top target markets to be in, and Stelton Road being the primary corridor within that market. So as we approached this market, this site stood out due to the fact that it was really flanked by two large retail trade centers. One is anchored by Target, the other, we found that up at the ShopRite going across the street, and then Walmart's down on the other side. So you're really kind of right in the middle of that trade area, providing for accessibility to a lot of the different customers that, you know, ultimately come and shop here in Piscataway. So for all those reasons, it was it made a lot of sense, this actual location and the size of the property too. The size of the property worked perfectly for our operation. It actually is almost exactly as we designed our prototype. The three pay stations and the 21 vacuums are what we target on our prototypes. It allows for efficiency of processing cars, and also allows for a high likelihood of customers that utilize the operations to have the ability to utilize the vacuums and facilities. With less vacuums, we could run into an issue where you know, they were all occupied at the same time, providing for a less optimal customer experience. So again, the size of this property worked really well. All of these things came together to make us feel very confident in ultimately the decision that this would be a location that would put us in a position to be successful and be really immerse ourselves in the community here over the long term. So as far as Spark, as a business and operation, what we're proposing here is a modern express car wash facility. We are open to the public, but we do focus on a membership-based business model. The public can, anybody can come off Stelton, utilize the facilities, and pay per wash. Along with that wash comes the free use of vacuums, or the use of the vacuums at no additional cost. However, we do promote our membership model, which enables customers to utilize the facilities as often as they like on a monthly basis for a very fair price based upon the amount of use that you would potentially get out of it. We combine a state-of-the-art technology within our facilities with a very, we think, a very beautifully designed building and overall landscape, including the landscaping. And we have a highly trained staff of 3 to 4 employees who have various jobs to do while on site, including engage with the customer to make sure they understand how to use the vacuum equipment, to understand how to use the pay stations, to make sure they understand what wash they're getting and so forth, ultimately to provide a pleasant experience for everybody who visits the facility. And that, all those pieces coming together, will enable us to create an experience for these customers, which helps with the business model of memberships. So further, we are eco-friendly. We have 3 2,000-gallon reclaim tanks that are state-of-the-art equipment used to filtrate the water we use in order to, so we can reuse it on site. So it recycles between 70 and 80% of the water that we do use. In addition to that, we use kitchen-grade cleaning agents that are non-hazardous to the environment. So those pieces are important as we kind of expand through these various territories as well. Hours of operation on site, maybe best to kind of walk you through if everybody could see this, the plan that's on the screen here. So,
and let's, and Mr. Barlow, we could, we'll mark this as A1. This is a rendering prepared by GKNA Associates. Too small for me to see the date. I don't know if Paul or Matt or you. Oh, there we go. 10-3-23. A1.
So easiest to
Last revised May 7th, 2024. Sorry.
So easiest to kind of talk through the operations and the circulation of the site by way of looking at the rendering and looking here. So as you know, a customer would enter the site, they would be guided by directional signage into the stacking lanes. The stacking lanes wrap the vacuum park. And so every customer that comes in through the site would be guided to the stacking lanes, the vacuum park, the stacking lanes lead to the pay stations. The pay stations, there will be three different pay stations. One is for members only. The other two will be for pay per wash or the public or off the street customers. The off the street customer kiosk will be attended by a customer service attendant. Will help facilitate a transaction for the customer and help make sure they understand how to use the kiosk and what wash to select and so forth. It's really there to engage with the customer and also just ensure an efficient transaction. The third will be a membership only lane, which would be designated by signage. And those lanes are equipped with a license plate reading technology similar to EasyPass to enable the member to process through the kiosk and enter the car wash facility very quickly, very seamlessly, and so forth. We will at probably some point modify, you know, two pay per stations to go from two paper wash stations to two member stations, depending on, you know, where we are in that buildup process of membership. But usually when we open, it's two pay per wash, one member. After you exit the kiosk pay station area, the next step would be to enter the tunnel of the car wash, which is on the far side of the building of the rendering you're looking at. That's where you'll encounter the second customer service associate on site. They're there to help guide the vehicle onto the conveyor and help load it. Once loaded, the car is put into neutral. Once the car is put into neutral, the conveying system will take control of the car and pull the car through the car wash facility. That will enable it to receive the wash from the various mechanicals and machines that we have throughout the tunnel. Upon exiting the tunnel itself is 135 feet long. So at any given time on a busy day, there could be four, maybe even five cars within that tunnel. It's a very efficient processing of cars built for, you know, processing cars on a busy day. But as you approach the exit of the tunnel, there are state-of-the-art blowers and blowing equipment that are designed to completely dry the car. So there's no manual dryers or manual laborers needed at the exit of the tunnel to further dry the car. The equipment is designed to fully drive the car. Upon exiting that tunnel, you will regain control of your vehicle, and then the customer will have an opportunity to either A, access the vacuum park and utilize the vacuum equipment, or B, exit the site. The third customer service associate would be monitoring the vacuum park area at all times. They're there to engage with the customer, make sure they know how to use the equipment, and make sure the area is clean. It's a car wash after all, so there's a lot of trash from the cars that are emptied out. Each of the vacuum stalls are equipped with their individual trash receptacle. One of the car wash employee who does occupy the vacuum park's responsibility is to empty those receptacles out during the day as needed and put them into the dumpster. The trash pickup is once a week. Or earlier as needed. And it is done usually right before opening around 7 o'clock in the morning. But it can be scheduled. It can be scheduled earlier or later, depending on preference. The deliveries we get to the site. So we only have deliveries once every 2 weeks, typically. And those deliveries come via Sprinter van. There's no large trucks needed to be moving around on site. Those come via Sprinter van, and they come on off hours when employees are on site. So either before we open in the morning when employees have arrived, the wash is not yet open, or after hours once the wash is closed and the employees are cleaning up the facility. Hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Employees generally arrive on site about an hour before we open, around 7 o'clock, and they will stay on site approximately an hour after we close, so 9 p.m. So I think that addresses most of the operational items that I had on my checklist here. I'm certainly happy to address any questions that there may be in regards to operation, business, or anything else. Or Jeff, if there's anything on your list as well.
No, I think you covered everything I wanted you to introduce to the board. Madam Chair, board members, I open Mr. Canale up to you for any questions that or clarifications you may want.
Any questions from the board of this witness?
I actually have one, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, Mr. Canale was saying that, you know, marketing conditions for Piscataway, but, you know, isn't it unusual to have four car washes within 2 miles of each other? I don't know. I mean, you got one up by Freedom Avenue on Stelton Road. You have another one in Celia Avenue. You have one further down on, you know, Stelton Road, whatever. I just, having born and raised in this community, I find it very perplexing business-wise. And I've seen a lot of applications coming for this board over the last 30 years where it's this is not like a restaurant industry here. This is for car washes. So I'm just out of curiosity how your thought processes in your company on this, on why another car wash business would financially make it in theory.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And in looking at competition is one of the first things that we do when assessing a market. And, you know, what we know is that there is a very true distinction between the modern express car wash that we are proposing here and a full serve or older express only. The market largely, I believe there's only one other full modern express like ours. And so I think there truly is a distinction between the two. Having studied, you know, this business and seeing other markets throughout New Jersey and the country where currently this product can coexist with the others as well. There is a lot of data showing that what is needed in a market for per express car wash is about 20,000 people in a 3 mile radius. So in Piscataway at this location in a 3 mile radius, you have 100,000 people. So that tells us, that gives us comfort that there's more than enough demand with the right product. And when I say product, I mean the actual experience that we're providing as a business with the right location, which we believe strongly this is the right location, and the right market where you're really just exposing yourself to enough people. So I certainly understand, the perspective that you have, and I feel most probably have a similar perspective. But what we know, having, you know, been building this product out throughout New Jersey and really studied other markets around the country, is that the drivers are population density, the retail trade area, and as long as you aren't saturated from a express car wash standpoint, that the two can coexist. It is truly two separate customers between the express car wash customer and the full service customer.
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill, unless the mayor has any other questions.
No, I don't, Madam Chair.
I do have a question here, because you're differentiating yourself from some other car washes, but would you say that a car wash like this, or the location, would be even a more valuable, closer to, let's say, the interchange at of 287?
It's hard to say. I think there's like a lot of variables within the question, but you know, I think there theoretically is a lot of good real estate within Piscataway, most of which is currently, you know, occupied with, you know, various existing uses. But yeah, I mean, theoretically there could be, you know, other locations that could also work. I think just lack of availability tends to be a theme in some of these stronger markets.
Right. And I started to say you differentiate yourself because in fact we have a car wash that is this very same model on Sealy, which is right next to 287, which is not busy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a bigger facility than this when it was approved. I think the stalls, like where the vacuum stalls are, I think they may have more. I'm not sure this and that. Sort of in that general vicinity, you have a small business that obviously cannot serve the amount of cars that your car wash can, but is, and I don't know if they now have a membership now, but they, you know, it is vacuums outside, et cetera. They do have people who, though, do dry the car outside, which, I mean, I'm a labor person, so the more people you hire, the better. It's not a selling point for me not having extra people there to wipe the car down. That set aside, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I also am inclined to feel as though, I mean, with the facility right off of 287, where you have next to a Walmart, pretty high traffic there is pretty slow. And they close at 6 o'clock on the weekdays. So I'm not so sure. And they may have started when they initially opened up with bigger, you know, with longer hours. You know, we have, I think, a couple of hotels right on the other side of 287, people coming in and out. I'm just really concerned, like, you know, what is the sales volume that you need to have in order to keep this facility open, knowing that the facility that's in a very high trafficked area is getting very little traffic in there and is the identical model. It's a membership, it's a pay per. I mean, it's the same setup as I look at your plan, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the location you're speaking about. I can't speak to their operations or how they run business, obviously, but I can speak to from a location standpoint, that location, in our opinion, you know, is more of a destination. I think it's more of a destination because it's tucked off Stelton, and yes, it, you know, that the Walmart does quite well and all that. But what we know, being experts, you know, in the industry, is that more than 50% of the customers that we engage with are impulse, not destination. So most of them are impulse, and being front and center, easy accessibility to the largest amounts of high quality traffic is paramount. So I don't think, while yes, it is next to Walmart and it is next to 287, it's only a destination it's very much a destination location. And from our you know, point of view, that's a major factor as to why I think you know, it could be slower than you would expect.
Also, Mr. Canale, I mean, isn't it true that site is probably 2 to 3 times the size of your proposed model? If I recall, the vacuum stalls are well over 50 stalls, if I recall.
That's correct. Accurate? Yeah. Yes, that's correct. They have more than 50 vacuum stalls. I believe they have more than one tunnel as well. Oh. It's. I believe the facility is built to be a destination because of how they build them. But again, just yeah. You know, my opinion is that our location puts us in a much better position to have a very strong performing store, being right on Stelton within that corridor, being able to capture impulse customers.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, my last comment is that it is just very close to that car wash and a similar model. I don't know. I don't see how they both, well, like I said, you're trying to point out that the one site is very big. This one's not as big. I'm trying to point out that the one site is not busy and in a very highly trafficked area. So those are all my comments, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Any other members from the board wish to comment or ask questions?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, he was talking about the picking up the trash off hours when they're not busy working. Where is that trash dumpster going to be at, located in the back, or where is it going to be located?
It's located, if you look at the site plan rendering, it's a little bit blocked by the tree in the front. But if you can see the cursor, it's right as you make the right hand turn into the queue lane.
Can you zoom in? Buildings, Reverend Kenny, right there in the middle.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. That's unusual, being in the front of a building. Okay, I'm seeing it.
Reverend, we'll have the engineer testify and explain the reason.
Yeah,
for
I understand that, Mr. Chang. But most of the time, it's always in the rear of a building or on the offside of a building. To be in the front, you know, off the main drive, I don't know. Okay, I got it.
One other thing I'll add just before we move off here, just regarding the research we did on like the actual trade area itself. So there's a platform that we utilize. It's called Placer AI. It's a location intelligence platform that enables us to really dive in and understand the true strength of a trade area. And what it tells us is that directly on Stelton Road, that trade area alone draws more than 12 million customer visits on an annual basis, which is very, very strong. And I think, you know, it's evidenced by, you know, the retail activity you have, you know, in the area as well. So again, just the positioning of this site amongst the strong trade area puts us in a position to know that, you know, we'll ultimately have a very successful business here.
Well, I'd just like to add another footnote, since I do live in the area, that all four of those car washes are in proximity to the Stelton Road area. One is here. It's a singular small car wash down here by the School Street area. Then the proposed one that you're talking about. And then as we go, then the one that we're talking about that's near Walmart. And on the other side of the 287 corridor is another one on the left-hand side. And I don't think I've ever seen them crowded. Three have been quite a lot in this area. And it's just a note from a resident that I hope your demographics are correct, but I've never seen them crowded.
No, I very much so appreciate the comment as well. And again, I do think that what our experience tells us for certain is that the product offering matters. It matters a lot. The experience that we provide matters a lot. You know, you can wash your car in your driveway, right? Like anybody could wash their car in the driveway. They come to us because of convenience, because of the experience they receive on the facility, because we have a beautifully designed building, because we're a convenient location. We have engaging customers. All of these things very much so matter. I would agree completely that if we were just recreating an existing product, you know, in a not so good location, that it probably wouldn't do well. I think from our view, this is quite different.
If there's no other questions from the board members, I'd like to open it to the public. Members of the public, if you'd like to ask a question of this witness under his testimony, would you please indicate by raising your hand? Ms. Buckley, do you see anybody?
They need to unshare the screen. I can't see, Madam Chair.
Okay. So would you please? Thank you.
Anyone in the public have any comments or questions? No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do you have any other witnesses?
Yeah, so my next witness, Paul Much, professional engineer from Stonefield Engineering. If I could have him sworn in and qualified. He's designed a number of car washes. I work on him with him on a number of projects throughout the state. He's testified as an expert engineer in multiple municipalities. I'm not sure, Paul, if you've ever been to Piscataway, though.
I don't think so.
Okay.
He can give us the benefit of that. sir, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address.
Yes, certainly. Paul Much, M as in Mary, UTCH from Stonefield Engineering, located at 15 Spring Street in Princeton, New Jersey.
So, Paul, if you could
raise your right hand.
Yeah, certainly.
You swear a testimony give before this board will be the whole truth?
I do.
You're a witness, Mr. Chang.
Can you provide your qualifications, education, your licensing, to confirm everything is still in good order?
Certainly. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey, and my license is in good standing. I graduated from Rhone University with a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. I have 11 years of experience on applications similar to the one you're hearing this evening, and I've been accepted by more than 100 land use boards in the state of New Jersey as an expert witness.
So ask if, Madam Chair, we accept him as a...
Yes, he's accepted. Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Much, can you walk us... first, mark the exhibit, your plans, your civil design drawings...
So yeah, we can start with the aerial exhibit.
Exactly. And then walk us, so I'll just gonna let you go, but in the narrative, mark your exhibits, discuss the existing conditions, proposed layout, walk the board through how all of this is supposed to function, and discuss any variances, the variances that we're asked about this evening.
Yeah, certainly. We'll get into that. This is the redevelopment of what is a defunct bank site with the associated improvements you'd expect, parking areas, drive-through lanes, as well as lighting. I think it's important to note, and it's highlighted by this aerial, that half of the site is currently undeveloped and that will continue in the proposed condition. And that's really a condition that will go unchanged for the future of this property if there are any development here, because there are wetlands that are located to the west, basically all of the wooded portion. There's a little bit in the back that is not encumbered. And then Doty's Brook is located along the south side of the plan, the bottom of your page. And the riparian zones and associated buffers there would prevent any expansion of the existing footprint that you're seeing on the screen and seeing associated with that bank use. So that is what our development will be. And you'll see in the proposed condition, we're essentially reusing the existing footprint and obviously making some significant upgrades that you saw in that 3D rendering, and you'll certainly see as we move through the application. We have frontage on Stelton Road, which is a county road, 529. We also have frontages, and they're not labeled on this plan, but they will be in the site plan rendering, on two paper streets, which is Walker Lane, which is on the west side of the street, and then Howard Grand Boulevard, which is located on the southern side of the street. I think I might have that backwards, but there are two paper streets that encumber on the two, the westernmost and the southern side of this property. Those, again, likely could never be developed because of the presence of wetlands, and Doty's Brook runs through where that paper street is to the south. So really what you're looking at is what you get from this site from a development yield, and we're going to be working within that. As we've sort of discussed a little bit, the uses in this area are consistent along the corridor, commercial uses in the GB zone, so this fits in well with the character of that neighborhood as well. And with that, I'll get into my next exhibit and the
proposal. Well, this is A2, right, Mr. Much?
Yeah, I labeled the aerial exhibit, which is prepared by my office and dated May 8th, 2024. I labeled that A2.
Perfect, thank you.
Is we'll move to A3, which is a site plan rendering exhibit prepared by my office, prepared on May 3rd, 2024. And this is simply a colorized version of the submitted site plan that's included as your package. We've taken the liberty of adding color, landscaping, and other features just to highlight for the board in the 2D sense, at the very least, what the intention of the application is. And you'll see some more 3D renderings as we move through our architect this evening. So the subject tonight is this state-of-the-art car wash. It is 4,841 square feet. It comes with 21 vacuum spaces and 6 employee spaces. One of those employee spaces will be labeled an EV space, and the parking proposed is compliant for code. What comes along with these state-of-the-art car wash uses as we get through the use and operations is the state-of-the-art reclamation system. So this is a car wash that reclaims water, a substantial amount of water, to limit the burden on the public utilities, but also serve its own building. We've actually started to introduce some roof leaders into the system because the reuse is a very important piece of not only washing cars. There's about 10 gallons of new water that goes into each wash, but it's also used for the various internal components of the car wash. It's treated, it's disinfected with UV lights. There's reverse osmosis filtering as well, so that water is used throughout the building, and certainly reduces the load substantially on the public utility system as far as water and sanitary usage for this site. Access is proposed for this site along Stelton Road in similar location to what is existing. It is a right-in, right-out driveway, as it is a median-divided roadway on the county roadway. We have an active county application currently for this site. We've addressed all of their comments. The remaining conditions is post bonds and pull a road opening permit. So we have essentially a full approval from the county at this point, which is very positive for the application. You've heard some of the circulation, but I'll just cover it again for this. Customers enter the site and are encouraged to go into the pay stations. There's always the option to enter the vacuum stations as well for those member users. But generally, the operations is you enter the queue area, which is located on the northern side of the site. That queue capacity from the building all the way back is more than 30 vehicles, which you'll hear from our traffic consultant this evening, but 30 vehicles is far more than you would expect for this kind of very, very efficient use and this fully automated car wash use. As you've heard, there is that trash enclosure located at the front of the site. It's pulled out of the accessory setback, but we located it front to the site to allow for easy operations. That trash truck can pull in, back up, and then leave the site very simply. If there's a strong preference of the board to move it further into the site, we're happy to explore that and kind of shift around those six employee spaces that are located to the west. Those employee spaces are low turnover, one shift per day. So the interaction of the employees and the drive-through lane certainly won't be anything significant here. This is a standard type situation for this type of use and Spark Car Wash. As far as their prototype goes, as you move through that queue, you enter into the pay station area. These are fully automated and high-tech pay stations that are meant to efficiently process vehicles and get them through the tunnel. As you've heard, there is a members-only lane license plate reading technology that allows for members that will be in upwards of 60 to 70% of the customer base to move quickly and efficiently through without having to actually perform a transaction. So that allows this car wash to really process vehicles. And then the interior two lanes at the onset are pay per wash. There'll be an employee stationed in this area to assist with those transactions. I can say from experience, the Spark Car Wash kiosks are extremely easy to use, large buttons, not a lot of options or confusion there. So pretty simple operations that the pay stations allow for very quick transactions. But there's always, there's always questions and things that pay station attendant is there to make sure that the safe and efficient operation of that pay station area generally continues throughout. There's also, in addition to that 30 plus car queue that we're providing for this pay station, there's other levels of redundancy that we've incorporated here. And specifically, that is what we'll call a bailout lane or an escape valve that's located just as you come out of the pay stations, that gore striped area to see that leads to the vacuum area. That allows for if there is a situation where the tunnel or something occurs at the pay station where the person does not want to get a car wash for whatever reason, an emergency situation where we need to move people out because the tunnel is down, those very rare scenarios, we're able to get vehicles out without having to back them through the pay station. That escape valve is just an added level of redundancy to ensure that this site operates efficiently, even in those rare emergency moments, just to make sure that we have all of our bases covered here. As you move through the pay station, you enter into the tunnel. That is a 135-foot tunnel. You can fit about five cars in there. So again, very efficient processing. You can speed up that conveyor belt if it is a busy day, you need to process cars, but really the transaction time moving from pay station through the tunnel is less than 2 minutes. So overall, this automated state-of-the-art car wash is extremely efficient. It's meant to provide convenience and an experience for the customers and specifically the members. And that's where you kind of come out of the tunnel, and that's where some of those features come into play. You hear a little bit more from our architect on some of the building-mounted features, but as you exit the car wash, yeah, really the experience we're trying to provide here is the aesthetics, which you can see in our architecture as well as the landscaping, but also just the usability of the vacuum park. Each one of those vacuum arms has multiple nozzles. There's spray bottles provided on site so you can clean your mat. There's automatic mat cleaners and other features here that allow for the members to get that experience that we're talking about and make them come back and be return customers here. We're also provide radiant heating at the building mounted situation for washing your mats, as well as the egress of tunnel to ensure that even during the winter months, if we're open the same hours, the same amount of time, there's not that condition where maybe a couple of drips of water freeze things off. You know, we're making an investment in this site, and we're looking to make sure it operates efficiently and safely in all conditions. So, you know, the experience is what we're looking for our customers, and we're trying to convert everybody to a member. So their return customers, the experience, the friendly employees, it's all part of the Spark Car Wash model, which you've heard from Matt this evening. It sets Spark apart in the industry, and that's why they think they'll be successful at this site.
Mr. March, if I can just, I hate to interrupt anyone when they're on a roll, but Mr. Chang, I just want to let you know, the board doesn't hear any witnesses after 10:30.
Okay.
So if you're attempting to try and get everything in this evening, I would probably hit the highlights and any questions the board has, and also, you know, obviously address the professional reports.
Sure.
Mr. Barlow, I want to
only cut one at a time. Right,
We're not voting on this application tonight.
Okay.
Because let the counselor finish his application as best he can, but we're not voting on this tonight, okay?
Understood.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and we're making a methodical record as well for obvious reasons. So
I perfectly understand that, Mr. Chang. I just, like I said, I didn't want to blindside you at 10:26. Yeah.
No, I understood. I appreciate it. Thank you. Paul, continue.
Absolutely. So moving into the zoning for the site, we are generally a bulk compliant site. The only real variance is from a dimensional standpoint that we're asking for this evening. And you'll hear from our planner, and you'll hear as we move through the application on the variances, there are two vacuum arms, one located here and one located here at the entrances, that are located within the 60-foot accessory structure setback. We have had some discussions with your professionals, and we've identified those variants as part of this. Those vacuum arms you'll see in the renderings as we move through our architect, but we are requesting relief for the locations of those, and they just happen to be inside that, certainly outside the principal setback of 25 feet and within the site, but within that accessory structure setback. So just something I wanted to highlight as we move through the application. We are reducing the impervious coverage in a modest way, but certainly, as you can see in the colorized rendering, we're upgrading the landscape and trying to bring kind of a more open and green look to the site as compared to the existing. And then obviously the rear portion of the site, that really it's a full acre of wooded area that will remain undisturbed due to the wetland impacts of this site. We do have both a wetland LOI that confirms the extent of the wetlands. And also we have confirmed that our development does not extend into the wetlands or transition areas. So no wetland permit is required as part of this application. There's also riparian buffers as well as flood hazard areas associated with Doty's Brook. Those have been confirmed. The extent of those have been confirmed via verification with the DEP. And we're currently submitted to the DEP for an individual permit for the flood hazard area that does clip the building in a slight way. Everything designed here is in conformance with DEP regulations, and that permit will be provided as we move through the application. But again, no expansion of the existing pavement, no expansion of the existing development footprint, just fitting within the DEP regulations, and certainly those new flood regulations that increase the flood elevations in fluvial flood zones throughout New Jersey. So looking to comply there, this layout will comply, and we'll provide those permits as we move through. One other item I'd like to identify as far as variances, as far as site plan, is that we do have a proposed freestanding sign. In the original application, it was a more of a pylon sign. We've moved to a monument sign, which is reduced in area 50.1 square feet, where 32 square feet is proposed. And you can, and our architect will show that on the renderings, and you saw a little bit of it on Exhibit A1 this evening. We are asking for a variance for the setback from the property line. We're proposing 10 feet where 25 feet is required. But it's important to note the uniqueness of this site. There is kind of this triangular jog in the property line where, you know, we are roughly 35, 36 feet from the physical street line, but we're only 10 feet from the property line. This sign is actually set back 2 feet further than the existing bank sign. It will be a little bit larger as it extends further into the site, but we have a couple of extra feet of setback here. And if you look up and down the corridor, we're generally consistent with the setback from the curb line. I'm not sure what the other sites is, how their property line sets up, but that 30 to 40 foot range of setbacks of signs is kind of borne out in this corridor. And I don't want to step on my planner's toes as he'll go through that. But it's consistent, and it'll be one of the smaller signs in this corridor as well. There's a lot of multi-tenant pylon signs to the north and south of this site. So I'll let our planner get it more into that, but I wanted to highlight the location and the specificity of that sign. Even if you look at a 25-foot setback off that property line, there's not a lot of room to locate that sign in an area that would identify to customers where the driveway is, but also comply with that 25-foot setback. But we're happy to discuss that positioning with the board as we move through the application. Landscaping investment and plantings here is a core value of the Spark model. They look to accentuate their architecture with the landscaping. So as you can see here, we're providing a robust landscaping plan. And what this plan does is it kind of brings some of the landscaping to the front of the site where the bank building is front. Currently, we're trying to open that up, provide a more open and airy and green feel to the site in the proposed condition, bringing in all season interest with multiple perennials and grasses and shrubs provided. We have 31 trees, more than 200 shrubs, and more than 300 perennials and grasses provided for this site, in addition to the green areas that you see as far as grass areas located along the frontage and the exterior of the site. Stormwater management is relatively simple for this site. We are modestly reducing the impervious coverage, which allows us to naturally comply with the various DEP and local stormwater regulations. But we will be installing all new conveyance system, but discharging at the same point. There's a manhole and a head wall that heads off into Doty's Brook that this site will also discharge to. So the DEP is getting a look at that stormwater. Your professionals, we intend to comply with their comments, but naturally meeting the regulations by increasing impervious coverage and landscaping plantings overall. Lighting for the site is provided via state-of-the-art LED lights. Those lights are all back shielded as far as the area lights and focused around the vacuum park, as well as the key features, the entrance, the circulation, the pay stations, and the tunnel. There's near zero light spill at all sides of this site, and that does not take into account any of the buffering plantings. So we really focused it on this site and limited light spill off the site. There were some comments in your professional's review letters about dimming lights overnight and turning off the vacuum arms. Those are acceptable conditions as part of this application. And I should just mention, each one of those vacuum arms has an LED strip on it that really is meant to illuminate inside your car door after hours, in those kind of winter months when it gets darker a little bit early, and then we'll dim the lights overnight. We're happy to comply with those conditions that were outlined. Finally, utilities for this site are all relatively simple as well. There's public utilities provided along Stelton Road. We're gonna look to reuse the water and gas connections as we can for the bank. We have to confirm the viability and the sizing of that, but there's existing valves and existing lines that we'll try to reuse. We'll establish a new sanitary connection to the main along Stelton Road. We did receive comments from the sewer department. We intend to comply with all of those. A new underground electrical service will be provided to the bank or provided to the car wash from Stelton Road as well. So all relatively simple utility makeup here. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff if you have anything else you'd like me to cover. But that, I think that covers the highlights of the site.
Thank you,
Yeah, I think you covered the highlights, and I just want to be, you know, for the sake of the record, sure. Your testimony is based on the obviously exhibits that you've just shown, but also the plans that were entitled Preliminary Final Major Site Plan for Spark Car Wash, Proposed Car Wash, Block 54401, Lot 8.01, 1038 Stellan Road, Township of Piscataway, Middlesex County, New Jersey, consists of 18 sheets prepared by Stonefield Engineering, dated August 11, 2023, revised through December 1, 2023, and then last revised March 1, 2024. Does that sound accurate?
Yes, that's correct.
Good. With that being said, Madam Chair, board members, I open Mr. Mush up to you for any questions or clarifications you may require.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of this witness?
Madam Chair, this is Mayor Waller. Real quickly, during Hurricane Ida, that area was substantially impacted. Matter of fact, so much that we actually, somebody unfortunately was deceased right there because of the raging waters of the Doty Brook and the impact that came on the property. Question it right there. Mm-hmm. What is the DEP's comment on that? Did they mention anything that there was a fatal right there? And matter of fact, there was two people that were sucked under right there on that site. One was deceased and one person miraculously lived right on that site because it became a raging river right there over the property in question right now.
Yeah, and certainly, and the DEP did not mention the fatality there, but the newly introduced flood hazard rules associated with all fluvial waterways, which Doty's Brook is, increased the flood elevation that we have to design to by 2 feet. So basically, it took the DEP took the data that they got from the Ida storm and revamped their entire interior flood hazard areas in New Jersey. So the proposed development that we have is elevated above that 2 foot increase in the flood hazard area, and that'll all be reflected in the DEP permits. But we are confidently outside of that flood hazard area and the proposed condition as far as our improvements and in complete conformance with DEP regulations as far as flood storage. So understood that during an emergency storm like that, Doty's Brook is going to be a substantial flow of water, but we've designed our site in accordance with all DEP regulations and we'll have a permit reflecting the same for that 2 foot increase that was basically a direct response to the conditions that they observed in Ida.
No other questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other members before I open it to the public? Okay, we'll open it to the public now. Anyone in the public wishing to-
Can you remove screen share, Paul?
Yes, but could you take that,
the exhibit down? Oh, yeah, I was mm-hmm. forget you can't speak. There you go.
Thank you.
It just makes my life easier. Thank you.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do, Laura. That's it.
Appreciate it. Anyone in Toner Feet have anybody in the public have any questions or comments? No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Well, if you have any more witnesses, I guess we will save them for the next time, or you think you can get them through tonight?
We lost Jeff for a second there. I don't know who he's calling as his next witness. Huh? I think he got disconnected, Madam Chair.
Well, let's give him a moment. Oh, he's coming back on now. I see him. Okay.
We said the stop was at 10:30, correct?
Correct.
You have another witness?
Okay.
He's coming on now, Mr. Chang.
Yeah, we do have a couple others. I'm just just wondering if it makes sense to.
Oh, there he is.
Apologies, I got booted off my iPad for some reason. I'm sorry.
That happens.
So I was like, that was a little weird. I'm sorry. Where do we leave off? I know Paul's taking out screenshot to make sure the public was heard. Was there any public comment?
Nope. You were asked who your next witness was.
Sure. Yeah. You know, knowing there's a cutoff at 10:30, I would ask if we could do the architect. I think we can accomplish that in 30 minutes, if that's okay with the board.
Certainly. Go ahead.
With that said, so Oliver Young at GKA Architecture is my next witness. If I could have him sworn in and qualified as a professional architect in the state of New Jersey?
Certainly. Mr. Young, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address for the record.
Yes, good evening, everyone. My name is Oliver Young, last name spelled Y-O-U-N-G. I'm a principal at GK&A Architects. Our business address is 36 Ames Avenue in Rutherford, New Jersey.
Okay, if you raise your right hand, swear the testimony given before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
Your witness, Mr. Chang.
Sure. Oliver, could you give your professional qualifications, education, and confirm your licenses are all in good standing?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. I hold a bachelor's degree in architecture from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, located in Troy, New York. I have practiced in the field of architecture for over 25 years. I have been a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey for over 18 years, and my license is current. And my qualifications have been accepted at over 60 planning and zoning boards throughout the state of New Jersey, including the zoning board in Piscataway, not the planning board.
I would ask, Madam Chair, if we could accept Mr. Young as a professional.
Yes, he can be accepted as a professional. Yes.
Thank you. So, Oliver, if you could walk us through, first I'd like to just confirm the architecture plans that you submitted and you're relying on are entitled Proposed Smart Car Wash Block 5401, Lot 8.01, 1038, Stellan Road, Township of Piscataway, consisting of four sheets prepared by GK&A Architects PC, dated September 29th, 2023, revised through March 1, 2024. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, Jeff.
Okay. All right. And if you could walk through, I know you have some exhibits this evening to share as well. If you could just walk in the board through in the narrative, the design building, materials, colors, finish, elevation, compliance, floor sure. plan, and signage.
Gladly, will do. I'm going to share my Thank screen you. Right now. And these drawings here are an electronic copy of the drawings Jeff just referenced. So I'm not sure if I need to mark those as an exhibit per se. There we go. This is the first sheet, A1 of 4. It's the standard Spark building layout. Floor area, footprints, 4,841.
I just have your screen.
Hmm.
Not a picture.
All right, let me try again.
Yep. There. You had it earlier, and then you went to your file of just the name of the file for some reason.
Now it should be working.
Yep.
All right.
Just for completeness sake, why don't we just call it A4 and we'll just keep going.
Yep.
Thank sure. you. Now this is the floor plan. It is 4,841 square feet in footprint. Overall dimensions of 36 by 139. It's not a true rectangle. It's actually two shifted rectangles. The tunnel, which you see here in plan south, which is actually the south side of the site, takes up the entire length of that building. It's 21 feet wide. And the northernmost section of that is all the ancillary or support for that. That's the office, the employee bathroom, break room, storage room, equipment room, and electrical room going from west to east. And for reference purposes, on the right-hand side of the sheet, that's the tunnel exit. That faces east, which is Stelton Road, and that's what we consider the front of the building. And the building sits perpendicular to Stelton Road. And now, Jeff, I'm actually going to introduce the new exhibit now. I think it's the sure. appropriate time. We're going to introduce a new architectural plan for Spark, changes that have occurred since we originally designed this site. In summary, what we're doing is we're mirroring the entire building. And the tunnel, instead of facing the outside or the south of the site, the tunnel is now going to face the interior of the site, the vacuum spaces. And the main reason being is there's a decent amount of glass in the tunnel right here. And we want that glass, we want that to face the vacuum spaces. So I'm going to share this new exhibit here. I'll have to mark this, I believe, as A5.
Yes, sir.
This is prepared by GK&A under my direction. It's floor plan and elevation updates dated May 7th, 2024. And all we've done is flip the building. So now the tunnel is on the north side of the property as opposed to the south side. No other changes to the building. In terms of the offsets that I mentioned, it's approximately a 4-foot offset on the east and west sides between the tunnel and the ancillary supports. Dimensions, overall footprint, no changes whatsoever. And I want to keep emphasizing that as I introduce the exhibits. I'm going to switch now to the elevations, and I'm going to pull up the original rendering package we prepared based on the original design. First, this is actually 5 sheets. I believe I can mark them all as A6.
Correct.
And I'm not going to show all the sheets. I'm going to go to some of the rendering views. And this is what Mr. Canale started off with his testimony. This was R2. This is an existing view of the site. And then we have on the next page the proposed view of the site. This is the original design that was submitted to the board. So it looks slightly different than exhibit R1, which is actually the new design. I just want to show the board the original and the new, so you can see that we're literally flipping the building in place. In terms of the massing of the building, the parapet heights vary between 18 and 18 foot 8 inches. They step up on the short sides of the building on the east and west, that 8-inch transition. There's also a taller section at the rear of the building. I'm highlighting it with my cursor right here. That steps up to 22 feet, 2 inches. Then at the front of the building, we have what was originally designed as a wedge element. It's an eye catcher, which also presented an opportunity for signage. That wedge element was angled and pitched. It topped off at 25 foot 6 inches to the highest point, which is on the south side, and sloped down, if you follow my cursor, to a low point of 20 feet, 1 inches. Now I'm going to pull up the same rendering, which is what we referenced during Mr. Canale's testimony, so you can see the differences. And then I'm going to walk the board through the materials at that time. Bear with me a second while this opens. Now this is exhibit A1, which was introduced at the start of the hearing. So you can see, if I don't want to confuse the board and flip back and forth, the building sits in the same spot. We've simply pulled the tunnel to this side to face the vacuum spaces, and you can see the glazing along the tunnel. The heights of the building have not changed. The 22 foot 2 inch bump out is now at the south side facing the other property. We have redesigned this wedge element. We've removed the slope of it. It's now a standard height of 23 feet 4 inches. So it's actually 2 feet lower than originally designed. And what with this new design, flipping the tunnel to the side, it presented us an opportunity for a more uniform signage package here. In regards to colors and materials, no changes to the colors, no changes to the materials with this architectural revision I'm referring to. It's a sleek, modern design no matter what way you look at it. The finishes are contemporary, and we have a tasteful yet eye-catching use of color. There's 3 prevalent materials on the building. We have metal panels in both the blue and white finishes. This looks a little gray. It's just the shadow from the rendering. We also have gray corrugated metal siding and a white exterior porcelain tile. You'll also see an orange accent band prevalent along the tunnel side. That accent band is also present on the south side of the building, and that band turns into a projecting canopy of 3 feet over the tunnel entrance, which you can't see here. It's at the rear of the site, but we have the same flat 3-foot orange canopy at the tunnel exit. Over the tunnel itself, that orange canopy projects out 1 foot. In regards to glazing, the majority of glazing is along the tunnel elevation. We also have a small amount of glazing at the office area, which is at the back of the property. You can't see it here, plus 1 small window at the break room for the employees to have some natural light. In regards to building signage, we originally proposed 4 signs for the building. I'm going to pivot back to Exhibit A6, which was our original rendering package. And I'll pull up the first sheet of that, which was the colorized building elevations. You could see the 4 signs here in the original design. We had one on the east elevation facing Stelton Road. We had another sign, and it was a Spark logo with the word Spark Car Wash below it. Then on the north elevation, which faces the vacuum spaces, we have, again, a Spark logo with the words Spark Car Wash. We also have a smaller sign at an area called the Spark Park, which I actually wanted to touch upon. That's a mat cleaning area where customers can take the car mats out of their cars, walk up to this and get their mats washed. That area is called the Spark Park. It has additional cleaning materials and supplies, but that's an identification sign, and that's 8.8 square feet. And then we had one additional sign on the south elevation, which was the Spark logo. So our original signage package had 4 different signs, totaling 144.9 square feet. With our updated building design, and again, I apologize for pivoting back and forth between exhibits, I'm pulling up the first page of the revised architectural. This is Exhibit A1. This is the first page of it. It's updated colorized building elevations, again, dated May 7th. We're down to 3 building signs. On the east elevation, same exact sign as we originally proposed. On the north elevation, we have the same type of sign, but it's actually larger. It matches the sign on the east elevation in size. The original design, those 2 signs on the east and north, didn't match. The north elevation was slightly smaller. However, with this newly designed element, we felt it was important to have the signage match. We still have the same Spark Park signage at the same size. However, we've eliminated the 4th sign, which was that Spark logo on the south elevation. So we've gone from 4 signs to 3 signs. However, the signage square footage has increased. And that's due to this Spark Car Wash sign in the north elevation now being the same size as the Spark Car Wash sign on the east elevation. So we're proposing 3 total signs at a total square footage of 160.8 square feet. The Spark Park sign is only 8.8 square feet. Then the 2 other Spark and Spark logo signs are 76 square feet each. I want to make one important distinction about the size of those 2 Spark signs. When we do our calculations, we're drawing a rectangle around the outermost extents of those signs. So that includes the logo and the word Spark Car Wash. And we're essentially drawing a rectangle. I'm not going to try to draw it here. I'll screw up the program. We're drawing a rectangle as big as possible per ordinance. What that means is there's a lot of dead space to the right and to the left of this logo that we have to count in our square footage calculations. When we take the area of that dead space, it's actually 24 square feet per sign of not logo and not lettering. There's 12 square feet here and 12 square feet here on the right-hand side of that. You do that times 2, that's 48 square feet of dead signage area, in our opinion, which factor in to the total proposed facade signage of 160.8. If you do some simple math and subtract that 48 square feet of dead space, that actually gives us 112.8 square feet of signage. And that is important to address because we are allowed a total maximum area of 88.9 square feet of building mounted signage. And I'll leave it at that in regards to the signage. I believe our planner at a future hearing will delve further into the need for relief for signage. Jeff, I've covered everything I wanted to address in my direct. Is there anything else you wanted me to hit upon?
No, I think that you touched upon everything. Madam Chair, board members, I open Mr. Young up to you for questions and clarifications.
Members of the board, do you have any questions individually for this witness? Hearing no answer, I'd like to open it up to the public for any questions that they may have. Okay, you've taken it down. Members of the public, do you have any questions of the witness that you've heard tonight, of this witness, the architect?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. I believe then this will conclude your testimony for this evening.
Yeah, exactly, Madam Chair. We could be carried to the next hearing date. I think it was June 12th.
June 12th, yes.
So that we could finish.
We have space on our June 12th agenda, Mr. Barlow?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And any members of the public that are here, there won't be any further notice. The notice you already were served with, and we're announcing it here that the meeting will be carried to the June 12th planning board meeting at 7:30.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Can I just make for the public, the Zoom information will be different. It will be on our website a few days prior to the hearing for you to sign on the meeting.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a Mother's Day weekend, everybody.
All right. Yep. Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good night, Jeff.
Thank you. Take care, Ms. Barlow.
All right.
Just need a motion to adjourn.
We need a motion to adjourn.
Oh, good thing I didn't sign off. Can I get a motion to adjourn from the board, please?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Hey, your second?
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
All in favor?
Aye.
Favor.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Happy